Welcome to Expedition Self on OM Times Radio with lifelong learner, entrepreneur, and creator of the worlds of Expedition Self, Sam Parado. Sam shares 4 decades of studying, guiding, and teaching how to go inside so we can build an incredibly powerful, dynamic, and validating relationship with the self. Expedition Self is laced with stellar, unexpected insights about what it means to be human. Listen now and ignite your self-development process with Sam Parado.
Well, hello, I am Sam in the flesh, live right now, and you have found yourself on my weekly show, Expedition Self. You know, as a bit of FYI, I also facilitate an online group on Facebook and an online monthly self-development program called the Expedition Self Official Community. So feel free to check it out at my website at samparado.com, where you can also follow the weekly shows as well. So, all right, I'm going to take a big deep breath here as we roll into the afternoon. So, you know, I'm always trying to find a way to refer to people who are on the self-development track, and I've spent gobs of hours doing it, and I found myself hunting again today. I found adventurer and builder and pathbreaker, and the one I liked was rambler, but, you know, I always seem to return to the word seeker. And I think it's because at the root of, you know, all self-development is this desire to find and learn and discover, and that, my friends, makes me a seeker. And so if it fits you, then it makes you one too. And I am grateful to have fellow seekers to share the world with. So today we're going to be talking about authenticity and self-deception. That's a big word. And how your identity is wrapped up in that and what authenticity is all about. So this is a good time to take down the phone number so that you can call in, because, you know, it's always better when people call and share. The number is 202-570-7057. So I'd like you to come away from our hour today with a couple of central ideas. So the first one is, it's impossible to be authentic because it doesn't surface from anything that's static. Authenticity is, it's really the central guidepost of a supportive practice for developing the self and advancing as a human being. I'd also like you to recognize that your idealized version of yourself as a being wears a sort of mask, and it causes you to think you have to be different in the various domains of your life, and that this self-protection cloaks itself in a deceptive perception that we not only don't realize, but sometimes we even encourage. And lastly, I want you to come away with the idea that just being you doesn't deter this mask wearing, because it's just so inborn. It can help create the container for you to explore and generate really authentic nuggets if you take on an always looking desire to see the truth about how inauthenticity is always lurking, you know, behind the many moments we engage in with life. So this is a good time. Let's get comfortable. Grab a piece of paper, something to draw or write with, and let's go exploring. Capture anything that shows up as you're listening and put it on that piece of paper. Don't even try to analyze it for when you write it. And just know that when it's all said and done, some part of your inner self or your unconscious will have made its way to that page. Years ago, I was driving down the Pennsylvania Turnpike, having just finished a day with my clients, and I had this thought about how stubborn I was and how it had cost me so much in life. And I was sad. And as my thoughts, they rambled along with the highway, it hit me just how self-protective I had been. And from there, I realized how much more I really could have experienced had I not been blocking life out. You know, my business probably would have grown in lots of more expansive ways, and my relationships, they would have been more loving and far reaching. And I guess that, you know, like the general scope of my life would have produced such a very different outcome. And it was in this moment that I realized my own failure to be. And I saw all the dreams, both the fairy tale ones and the deep, really grounded ones. I saw what really got in the way of me having them. I probably think that's why authenticity gets so much press, because someone else has actually figured that out too. And you know, I had prided myself on being very real and genuine and straightforward, and the stuff I saw really occurred beyond what I actually knew, and it was humbling and sobering. So instead of spending my energy on consciously guarding my inner truth, it would have been spent freeing it. That was not my journey, though. I had to do a lot of it before I saw that piece. So although it's a question of degree, I don't think any of us are able to live life beyond the constraints of this reality, because self-protection leads to self-deception. And self-deception ultimately leads to an inauthenticity we don't truly comprehend the cost of. And so I took on a more invested stand of being undefended and unfiltered, and it has definitely produced some very interesting lessons as I interact with the people and activities and most importantly, myself. I hear people say a lot, well, I'm at least honest with myself. And, you know, my response in my head, which I don't say, is you can't possibly be. And then I think it's all lies, 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 more lies. Actually, I'm kidding about it all being lies, that is. But it is pretty impossible to always actually be honest with yourself. I mean, the trying counts, but the believing we're actually doing it, that makes us honest, I don't know about that one. So I found in my study and getting ready for today, I found a number of writings about the way we're destined to shade the truth. And this one is from William Shakespeare's Sonnet 138. Here it goes. When my love swears that she is made of truth, I do believe her, though I know she lies, that she might think me some untutored youth, unlearned in the world's false subtleties. I know he's writing it about a lover, but actually I think about it with ourselves. You know, self-truth is actually a question of timing, because first it can take a long time to be able to see the truth. And then you have to be willing to admit the truth to yourself. And then there's a place where that truth will definitely shift and certainly alter. We are not static human beings. And if we try to hold on to some truth, if we look deeply within the self, there are aspects of us that have yet to buy into that truth, or they may have a very different one awaiting the light of day. Do you remember in the movie A Few Good Men when Jack Nicholson, having been pushed all the way into the corner, he snarled at Tom Cruise and he said, "You can't handle the truth." Well, you know, I think that's one of the biggest factors with being. There's only so much truth we can handle at any time. Our psyche pretty much regulates how much and when we get it, and we're not completely in control of the entire process. In some ways, I think we're like, you know, co-conspirators in our own inauthenticity, and we don't even realize it. This is why vulnerability does matter so much. I think I say this word on every show. I put a plug in for it, because this willingness to be it from deep inside, it at least gives you a fighting chance at unearthing and revealing your truth. Kind of works behind the scenes, this willingness to be vulnerable, because it softens the ground like rain descending upon, you know, that harsh cracked ground in the desert when it's been really hot and dry for a while. But it definitely doesn't get you the whole way there. The whole way to authenticity can't actually be gotten to. It just can't be gotten to. You can get closer and closer and closer, and then you'll be further. And then you won't even know it. Because authenticity is actually a sneaky state. That's actually kind of funny, right? Like the very thing that would seem to be the most real, that's out in the open, that's just awaiting your claiming of it, it's actually slithering around in the background, constantly eluding us. I found a quote from Mel Schwartz, who wrote The Possibility Principle. It's a lot of P's. How quantum physics can improve the way you think, live, and love. And I thought his take on authenticity captured the trickiness of this whole thing that I'm referring to. Short of being caught, here's a quote. Sorry, I launched into it too fast. Short of being caught in a bald-faced lie or transgression, the methods of determining an individual's authenticity often go unexplored. One's authentic nature is revealed in their ability to express and share what they think or feel in a relatively unadulterated form. Diplomacy, political correctness, false flattery, people-pleasing, avoidance, and silence may in fact be designed to mask the authentic, unfiltered self. And that's where he builds in a ton of room for this idea of being authentic. It's when he describes it as relatively unadulterated. And that's why authenticity can't really be achieved, because it's not exact, it's not finite, and it's not absolute. There's no proof. We can't take a test. You never know which part of you has decided to hide inside and withhold. Others can't discern it. And you are evolving constantly. Authenticity is a fake icon. It's been put on top of a pedestal. It's being used as some aspiration that will make us better human beings, when really, unless we reframe it, it only creates a sort of kind of false expectation to be disappointed by over and over when it turns out we couldn't quite deliver it. Or worse, it's used as a reason to diminish someone else who couldn't bring it. And I know we all do that, right? We want authenticity from everyone else too. So what am I saying? Should we just give up all hope? You already know I'm going to say no, of course not to that. It's just that we've constructed an image around authenticity that's not very human. And it has the potential to override the true heart connection. And like all values, it gets bound into something to attain and to achieve. And rather than being put in some everyday work clothes where it can aid us in finding our truth, it can support us in staring our self-protection and deception squarely in the face, and eventually laying the foundation for intimacy and connection and all those juicy, good things you want in your life. So when we shift authenticity and think of it as a helpful tool rather than a destination, we're able to drop the mask and shine with our most beauteous selves into the moment as a gift to both us and the world. The very first self-development book I ever read, it was called The Road Less Traveled by M. Scott Peck. I think I was 20-something at the time, and a few late years later, he came out with another one, and I was really excited about it because, you know, I loved the first one. It was called People of the Lie. And I dove into it with gusto, thinking I'm going to be so excited to feel inspired. But then page after page, he described different people in their ordinary lives. Each one had a name and a story, no different than you or me. But the stories highlighted ways that they each lied. And it rocked my world because I was in it. I haven't picked it up, you know, since that first reading, although one of the character stories that had a different name, it definitely could have been mine. And you know what? I didn't want to lie. That wasn't like how I wanted to do life. And so I could see how I was doing my life in a way that was based on all of this distortion and misrepresentation, all in service to me trying to get my needs met and work out all the stuff that I hadn't yet really worked through. I'm not saying I have yet either. I'm always working. It was so hard not to judge and berate myself for who I was being, you know, to not decide I was an awful person. That moment was earth-shattering because it cracked an illusion that I was living in and didn't know it. And reading that book set me on a very long, extraordinary affair with the idea of being real and being true and telling the truth, being transparent and authentic. So I encourage you to read that book if you're grappling with the ways we operate on top of the truth. What I can tell you is that we're all on that continuum. In my 20s, I was distorting a lot of my truth. I was scared and I was desperate and I didn't know what way was up and I was trying to find my way and I had all kinds of stuff to come into relationship with. And of course, I'd like to think over my lifetime that I've gotten more able to work within myself and bring truth more rapidly with more willingness to not know. And that I've accepted that I'm always at risk of being hoodwinked by none other than me. So in this moment, I'm going to give you the phone number. It's 202-570-7057. And we're going to go on break right now. And I would really love to know about your journey in becoming authentic or your journey in playing with what you saw early on about how much truth you could handle and then what that looks like in your life now. All right? Can't wait to hear from you.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
So, welcome back. I'm Sam Parado, and you are listening to Expedition Self. And today we are doing a deep dive into authenticity. And, you know, my focus all the time is about how to go inside. So the whole idea of working with a word like authenticity is to get that flashlight out and explore, right? And see what's under all the rocks and around all the corners. So, okay, let's see. Let's talk about the wearing of masks. I'll bet you don't think of yourself as putting on a mask each day before you go out into the world. Of course, right now, a lot of people over the last year weren't going out into the world, but we still had masks. So part of this is because the masks that you wear likely got put in place a very long time ago. And the other reason is because these masks are part of what you've wired into your like success methodology. Do you bring the same person, you know, like the same you to every relationship or every organization? Do you let people see what's inside at work or just at home with those you're safe with? In some ways, it makes loads of sense, right? If I need to be out in the world and I need to socialize in this kind of interrelational way, and that determines some level of inauthenticity that I'm going to deal with. It just kind of has to. You know, rules and trying to accomplish your goals and working with people you don't necessarily like, but you have to get along with. It's all a giant recipe and compelling stack of life reasons to have to alter your truth to make it work. So beyond the above the line reasons for being inauthentic, there are some pretty hefty below the line ones too. You know what I mean by above and below, right? Like the above the line stuff is, get it done, make it happen, eat, live, drive, you know, manage your family or your job. And below the line are all the things I love, the mystery, right, that go on inside of you, your conversation with your inner child, the way experiences have caused you to feel or to think, you know, every moment of every day making a mark on your heart, your like sense of being within. So what masks do you wear? Your idealized self-image has a great deal to do with the mask that you wear. And if we descend, boom, 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 to another level, you might see that the things you value about yourself are also the parts of yourself that are expressed through the masks you actually wear. These masks are designed to safeguard your favorable position, both within your own mind and with that of others. They protect you from being at risk of losing what you feel you need, and they keep you from being too vulnerable or getting hurt by others' judgments or impressions of you. Some people, they wear good guy masks. Some wear bad guy or devil's advocate masks. Some wear strong ones. Some wear combative ones. Some wear needy ones. Our masks serve us well. And they're actually, I would call them semi-intentional. So for a moment, I'd like you to really think about what you show the world. What is that most optimum version of you? Are you productive and capable, creative, mysterious, clever, funny? These are all aspects of our identity, but they're never the whole of it. And so that's where, if you don't put a ton of energy into trying to bring more of yourself, to challenge their validity and the way you show up in life, they'll just stay in place until something about your life doesn't work in some way that matters to you. Because, you know, life does give us constant feedback and it disrupts us when it's time to see these inauthenticities. But personally, I'd rather get there before some shocking event or surprise, like a surprising circumstance, shakes me up. This is such a complex proposition because you'd have to rethink so much. Okay, I'm going to walk you through it. You start with any ideas you have about the way things should be that had to do with the mask being put in place to begin with. Then you explore the ways it connects with how you want to be seen, how you want to occur for others. And then you think about the experiences you've had in life that reinforced the need for the mask, and you notice all the feelings that you've buried. This kind of self-development, transform yourself, blow out the windows to life kind of approach, it's a heck of a lot of work. I know. But I want to go a little further. All right. What do you do now? Oh, excuse me. Why am I saying it differently? Here, let me say it. What do you now do, there it is, with your undesirable qualities? How do you show those to the world? Or better yet, how do you show them to you? Because they became undesirable because consciously or unconsciously, you chose to wear a different mask. And that means you left these behind. So who are you really? See what I mean about this trickster? Authenticity as a state of being is an impossible illusion. And the most distressing difficulty with the masks that we wear, even though they're never going away, is that underneath it all, in our most essential humanness, we so want to be seen and understood. And we want to see others. We want to share intimately in this amazing, unpredictable life with other seekers who are brave enough and willing to look messy and confused. And yes, I love this word, flummoxed by new truths that they didn't see before. But because we don't realize how much we interfere with this actually happening, we're kind of left in the dark, wanting something, but not really recognizing the factors that prevent us from having it. We're in a perpetual state of mask wearing and most likely unintentional self-deception. So, okay, I'm going to stop right here because we've had a couple of callers. So, Diane, I'm hoping you'll come on with us now. And then, Cynthia, I hope you won't hang up and you'll wait until we can get through our conversation with Diane.
Okay, so I have two questions. The first one is, when you first started, you said write down a word that that came to mind. And the first one I wrote was scared. And I remember as I was growing up that I was actually scared to tell somebody the truth of what I was thinking, because in many cases I actually lost a friend. They never came back to me. So my question is, how do you set it up so that the individual knows that you really want to be vulnerable and authentic and not create a, listen, I don't want to hear that, and they leave your life?
Oh, wow. Well, I was actually just really feeling what it must have been like for you to be trying to share what was going on for you and then feel like you were at risk of losing. You know, I do want to just say, I think it's the kind of thing that requires practice. And there, mm-hmm. I do think there's a difference between like telling honest opinions about others and trying to talk about what's really happening for you. Mm-hmm. And there's another layer there where it's possible that the way that that particular relationship didn't allow for you to actually share. So there's a whole piece about how would you have tried to create that relationship to open the space so that you could be heard. Mm-hmm. So that it's complex what you're asking. I mean, there's so many pieces to it, but it's definitely inside of all the practice that I'm talking about around this whole idea of authenticity.
Mm-hmm. I wondered if I could have started out and said, "Listen, do you really want to hear what I have to say?" Instead of just bolting it out. You know, I just didn't know if there was a groundwork or some kind of a soft entry into being vulnerable with an exchange.
Well, in that example, it's really actually about saying, hey, I have something going on with me and I'd really like to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
I have this feeling about it that I'm nervous or scared about how you're going to react. Mm-hmm. But this is going on for me. And I feel like if we're going to create relationship together, that this is one of the things I'd want you to know. And then I'm willing to talk about it as we work through it.
Oh, good.
So it is about being vulnerable for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling again. It's great to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, Cynthia, what's going on for you around authenticity?
I think this is an interesting topic because people have described me as authentic. And I think we are authentic. It's based on different situations, right? Different people were around, different environments. And this came up really clearly once for me. I don't know what I asked, but on Facebook years ago, I asked something like, when you think of me, what comes to mind, what qualities or characteristics or something like that. And everybody chimed in and it was this huge, great list of positive attributes. And I was like, wow, they don't know me. And I remembered that I'd made a commitment early on online to not post anything negative or say anything negative, and that I wanted to be positive. But what that resulted in was this sense that I was just this cheerful, positive person all the time, and I'm just not. And so that was a big lesson to me in situational authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Well, I what I'm connecting with when you were talking about only posting positive things online and that leaves this kind of empty void, right?
Well, it leaves you like, oh, you have one lane to drive in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not enough range.
right. And so I didn't know that I was being inauthentic. I thought I was just being, you know, choosing a way to be, you know, one of my ways. That was a big lesson to me. But what do you think about that concept of situational authenticity? Like,
well, it's Interesting, because actually, I don't feel like you're describing it as situational. I hear you saying it, that it, there was a cost to it, and that it was something that if you could keep playing with, you'd bring how much, how could you bring more of what is true for you that didn't land in like, oh, it's all positive. I mean, what you're describing to me was that you really felt the effects of how it goes when you don't have a more lanes to drive in. You know, and the example where you felt the loss of the people didn't really know you, that they couldn't point out that sometimes you're this way or sometimes you're that way. Right. I mean, to me, that's like in your belly, you already get a sense of, oh, I want to be known.
Well, so I think, you know, not being known in that way, I think it kind of leaves a loneliness. Like, oh, they don't know me. They don't know the full me.
Yeah. Which, I'm completely
which is
you.
Fine. Everybody online doesn't need to know the full me. That can be reserved for certain people. But
well, there's only so much time.
But I really appreciate this conversation. I also loved what Diane brought up, because that is a big factor. Like, we can do all this personal growth work, but if we don't have anybody to meet us in these conversations, we might lose people. We, you know, we don't really have a full range.
Right. That's right. And I think that's why, to me, the more we pursue and practice and try with it, then we also get better at describing, hey, this is the risk to me by sharing this with you, or is this something that you can imagine you can handle? Because then it becomes out in the light of day, and they can choose and there's dialogue, and then you can actually say, hey, I offered to share this thing and there was a place where they really weren't open to it. It's when it all happens beneath the surface, right? Where like there's all this unspoken stuff, and then you really got, you're meeting someone else's kind of withholding and inauthenticity. Right?
Yeah. What you're saying really, you know, the prefatory remarks of, I'm going, can I say something, or I want to share something, that's the missing piece for me, that because I'm always in such a hurry, and that you were sort of training us to slow down and set it up, frame it, take a moment to get alliance with that other person. That's really good to keep in mind.
Well, you said it really well. I couldn't actually repeat it, but that's the idea, right, is to slow down and really treat it as though it's this amazing dessert, you know, that you're serving up and you want to make sure people are really, they have their plates and their forks and they're ready to eat. I shouldn't have said it all that way, but that's what showed up.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Thank you.
I it's always about
you.
Food.
I know. That's what I was saying. I must be hungry. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Sam. Bye.
All right. Bye. So, okay. Gosh, those were awesome, awesome chats. I appreciate so much when those of you who call in and share of your own lives, it's talk about vulnerability. It's right there. So, okay, let's go on. So what would happen if you could truly acknowledge and operate from knowing that this is how you actually engage with life? And really, that's what we just got to hear from Cynthia and Diane. They got on saying, yeah, I think I know I have a mask. I think I know I put that on. So the more you understand and see and connect with and intimately share within yourself, the more you can deconstruct the scaffolding you've erected to support the wearing of masks. And, you know, this idea that we have to be in public or we have to have different faces that we wear, what I'm trying to help you see is that when you buy into that, then you don't work underneath the surface to find more and more ways to share more of who you are and what's going on for you. We just accept that that's so, and we keep it on the surface. So the more you do this, the more life will meet you in unplanned and miraculous ways. So what causes inauthenticity? Now, we've been talking about it for a while, so you could say, well, we already addressed that. But I think there's more to explore here. So caring about others' feelings or wants causes us to distort and rework ourselves. So we become someone who won't be rejected or judged or negatively reacted to. We shape what we're doing or saying to actually make sure that that person isn't going to be disrupted. We say yes to things we really want to say no to. We go along with plans that don't really feel right. And we participate in relationships in a way that doesn't line up with the way we'd like to interact. And that toll is heavy on us. That toll is what we were talking about with Cynthia. It's like she knew the toll. So I'm trying to describe that when you really work inside of the practice of authenticity, that what you're taking on is, I want to find ways to share more that's about transparent, like the transparent parts of what lives inside. So another thing is we get further and further from what we deep down know of ourselves, trying to continue to be wanted, accepted, and included. Lots of times, I think this happens when we're really growing up, right, is we have a desire to be popular and liked, wanted and pursued and included. We need to feel secure and comfortable. And it's built into our DNA as human beings. And as young people, we develop the skill of inauthenticity as a way to cope with loss and, you know, adults around us that don't make any sense and disappointment, being undervalued. And we adapt to our circumstances as a way to get through them. So I think this is what's currently being called resilience. So, okay, when we come back, we'll go down the list a little more and we'll start to talk about what does it really mean to be you? Okay, I think it's break time. All right, well, at this particular moment, it doesn't seem like that's happening. So I'm going to keep going for a little bit until I hear the music come back on. There we go.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
All right, well, I am Sam Parado, and you are on Expedition Self, and we are way into the details around authenticity. And we've had a couple of awesome callers who've shared and expanded our conversation quite a bit. So if you'd like to call in the next 20 minutes before we're done, the number is 202-570-7057. So we were talking about the childhood piece, and I wanted to return to that because, you know, these experiences from childhood, they become unconscious habits. And like as we grow older and the further we get from the source of what caused them to develop at all, the more we can't see how they came into play. So, you know, again, what works in the background? So when our truth is something we can't be with, this is another one, we have to alter it to handle walking in our bodies, We have to come to grips with it. We have to figure out how we're going to go through life, because at the very least, we are all figuring it out, and most of us are figuring it out just fine, right? But what if we don't do things that we're proud of? You know, where do we carry shame and guilt and all these places that have a sidestep and distort what's really going on? You know, I think about it like this, like, who's going to walk up to someone and shake their hand and say, I'm an awful person because I always stole my sister's cookies when I was little. There's that food thing. I think it's always in the background. Or I didn't have any empathy for people suffering, and I'm just not someone who cares about other people's feelings that way. You see, this is what it means to be human, and this is what we're all grappling with. How much will we lose if we share the truth that we are ready to be with? That's the work, right? The going under the line, the digging underneath, and then getting yourself so in it, able to feel it and able to be with it, that then you're willing to bring it out into the world and to share it and do it in a way that you stay in integrity for yourself and you have power underneath you. Couple of other things. Sometimes we feel powerful and in control, holding all of the cards and strategizing and figuring things out without sharing what's happening. These are all the different reasons or the things that live under inauthenticity. So what happens in that is we don't reveal the why of our actions. We don't let on the pieces that brought us to that moment, and we offer up only those aspects of our truth that we believe will influence the other's response. You know, in essence, it's like we keep 80% of what's going on in our head private and not realizing that this is a version of withholding and managing results. This is some of what happens when we all of a sudden tell somebody what's going on with us and they haven't actually heard all the pieces that lead up to it. They're actually in shock, or they don't know how to process it, or they don't know how to receive it. Another piece of this is the selling and influencing. All of this is an outcome of this element of inauthenticity, because it's still self-protective, but it's more like an active strategy. And if you look deeper, there's often fear and desperation and need. It's grounding it. You know, I bet you've seen some of those online course promoters turning their transparent authenticity into a very compelling reason to buy. You know, I'm going to go off my agenda here just a bit. The problem with this approach is that our vulnerable self-information, it isn't always honored by splaying it on the billboard or on the sidewalk. When it's being used for some game, we know that authenticity makes us seem more human and more approachable and more likable. So that's the whole idea. Is like, when you think about on social media, it's not about being authentic, like to exploit ourselves, right? It's about how do we find a place that we're really connecting and connecting inside and with outside. You know, one of my previous shows, I talked about the kind of disrespectful and unconscious leader and manager I was in my 20s. You know, I've been working with those feelings around this forever, and I'm definitely not done. But I have to be very careful that I share these kinds of things because they feel relevant and true, right? And freeing at the moment for me not to influence someone else's opinion of me. Otherwise, I run the risk of creating a whole new level of inauthenticity inside of myself because of it. And we always run this risk of creating that new level when we're trying to be something we're not feeling, or we're trying to influence the outcome of another's reaction being it. You know, it's meaningful for me to share things that I have discomfort about because it helps me see another layer about that time, and it helps me clear away and clear out the shame or the embarrassment. And that purpose for me causes me to practice expressing, and it allows myself to detach from what others think. But for some, once they or we put it in a repeatable script and perhaps don't even really process the inner truth that goes with it, it becomes stale and it's constructed, and we're not really at risk in sharing it. I guess that's the bottom line here, is we have to be careful of using our truths and our feelings and our stories to get some desired outcome in service to authenticity. Because if you're not at risk, your authenticity is likely on the down low. And again, you know, don't get me wrong, when I'm wanting to build a friendship or a liaison, I'll definitely share my heart with the intention to make a connection. But the idea, the very idea that I try to share something that will make me seem authentic, is the part that I'm pushing on here. You know, sometimes we and others absolutely can sound authentic, but it's not really attached to the heart. So when you really get invested in being at risk and knowing that authenticity is a dynamic process of self-learning, you're left with the most basic question. Is the heart connected? Did I truly feel it? And it even gives you a way to discern for yourself what's happening within that moment with the other person. Because we become so much more capable of finding places of true sharing and choosing also from those deeper connections. So if I'm going to be out in the world and I have a commitment to be undefended and unfiltered and to go inside, that's my thing right now, then I'm going to share things where I feel at risk for the very purpose of being with myself when I do it. Authenticity in and of itself is best served up without intention, but rather as something that's disclosed because of our intention to be with ourselves. This is what we're going for. It's a way of being that's naturally and easily expressed, and it's all done inside of this practice with authenticity, not trying to be authentic. But to accomplish this, we need to get out that shovel, and we have to get the pick out. We have to get prepared for this rocky trek, because the material that would help this occur, it has to be excavated by you. With the knowledge, that excavated word through me, with the knowledge that self-protection and hidden motives and needs and tricky avoidance is always waiting around the corner. So if you're going to take on authenticity, as a mouthful, this is the distinction I'm really describing, right? It's going to be a place where you have to look for four things. Your own investment and commitment in getting in touch with what's there now, what else you can't see, what you're afraid to see, and all the moments that led to it. We have to see our own self-protection at play, even when we think it isn't. We have to take the case that it is. We have the ways that we think we're honestly pursuing some particular goal without realizing how self-deceptive we really are. Like, we have to capture that thinking. We have to work on knowing that it exists, right? And lastly, it's our willingness to keep searching for words and actions that match up, so the inside of ourselves will say, yes, that's what feels true for me right now. That's what the practice is. You're going to have experiences that don't go the way you want. But the idea of that is that you're going to get better and better and better at reflecting what's going on inside and then what's coming out as a result of it. You can see why going inside matters so much if you're really going to cultivate this, you know? So what does it mean to just be you? I asked some of my clients about how they got game and style, and they all said, oh, it's about being confident and being yourself. And I think, well, okay, so confidence is like knowing yourself and accepting who you are, right? Which means you have some level of honesty, something you've faced. But it's also difficult, because if we get confident being who we are, we run the very risk of getting locked into it. And then we can pretty much expect that some aspect of being a certain way that we like will soon, clip, 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 be playing a pretty large role in how we show up. And now we're back in the mask wearing. See, I keep talking about breaking down what's underneath it so that you can find little pieces more and more and more where you can share more of who you are. We don't even realize it, but we're reinforcing inauthenticity, thinking we're being more real, being confident in ourselves. I just think be yourself is like a squishy statement that we all throw around, but it actually implies that I'm someone with a very specific identity and set of characteristics, right? And it is true, right? You have all these things you do know, like what you love to do or eat, there it is again, or talk about, you know, what you're delighted by, the way you learn, what you like to do on vacation, what you're good at, what you do in your spare time. This stuff all does make you you. And there's no question that the more you get your life to reflect back to you the things you believe you are, there's something that just clicks. It starts to become less distorted, to resonate at a frequency that like gives you energy and makes room for more of you. But there's more to what lives under the line, and this is also you. And if you're not looking there, then you're not changing and you're not listening. I remember when red was my favorite color, and I thought it would always be that way. It's the same way with the aspects of you. You can believe you're someone who always feels better when you pre-plan for things. But if that's where you stay, then you've deprived yourself of this ever-changing rediscovery of you. Because in order to have these changes, we have to go towards the parts of ourselves that want to be orderly and managed and comfortable. We have to be willing, right, to actually share those changes. So many people say, I don't want to do that because it makes me feel uncomfortable. And if I ask why, a good number of them are offended that I'm asking. They don't even really know the answer. This is what I'm talking about around being you. You can get really stuck if you connect being authentic to locking in on who you think you are. You know, we talked about this earlier in the show, that part of you that's trying to manage how you're seen in the world. But if I'm really doing my growth work, the me in that is constantly changing, sifting through who I am now and the new me I'll be trying on tomorrow. And if we can really stand in that, then we're not locking in and limiting our authenticity. But it only happens if I'm listening. Because if I'm listening, there's this quiet wee voice, you know, that might also be the one that says, tell your boss the truth. Or maybe you should let your child know that you dealt with the same thing when you were their age. Or it's time to move. If you want to be more authentic, then you're going to nurture and celebrate and amplify every bit of what's inside so you can actively engage with it and understand better where it came from. Just be yourself. I guarantee it'll take on new meaning. If you're going to take on being authentic, then it means you're also going to take on a level of listening that invites all of you to be heard. And it's that part that says, I know we're comfortable, but I really want something different. I know we need to put things out so people feel good about them, but it doesn't actually fulfill me. So how do I find a way? This listening is the only way to really enter that revolving door of the ever-changing you. You know, to be willing at any time to hear that quiet voice I alluded to in the corner saying, I don't think this is what I want. Being you is not something you arrive at and hold on to. It's a dynamic state of listening and testing and experimenting and sharing. And it's all in support of being able to help you practice being authentic. Because we know authenticity as a state of being is impossible, but it's definitely a vehicle to help you be more transparent and vulnerable and engaged. All the forms that it takes to reinforce this idea that wanting authenticity directly corresponds to you evolving and transforming. And that's because authenticity is a moving target. One that in your desire to pursue, it strengthens your commitment to look, feel, sense, and then reconsider and rethink and reclaim and redirect. So the question we have to ask is whether or not we'll see it as something that's acceptably changeable or frequently elusive and sometimes deceitful. See, inauthenticity, it's not a sentence. It's a natural stage of development. And it's not an I'm here or an I'm not of thing. It's a practice. You can't be human and not work with inauthenticity. But there's no question that each time you move towards a place where you don't care as much about what others need or expect of you, or you realize you don't have to live up to some standard that's externally driven, you just get more straightforward about what you're needing and feeling without having to manage the other person's reaction. You move yourself 10 steps forward on that authentic authenticity continuum. All right, so here's the thing. I have a couple poems for you that I want to read. But in wrapping up, I want to suggest that because of life, because of the society we live inside of, and because of the people we share our lives with, it's likely we've developed ways of being that are geared towards being or acting a certain way so you'll be wanted. And by wearing a mask of your best qualities, that it represents your idealized self, you lose more than you realize. So can you, in this moment, imagine taking on, stretching and pushing those walls where you've accepted that you can only share what you can share, where you've decided that authenticity is something to be achieved, where you can really actually bring yourself into a space of connecting with yourself and allowing the practice to happen. So, okay, I found a Shel Silverstein poem to share with you today. I do want to say thank you for being with me this week, and I hope you will ponder all the ways that your inauthenticity is really serving your self-development process. Next week, we're going to talk about dreams and symbolism, and I'm going to read you this poem here real quick. It's called The Voice. There is a voice inside of you that whispers all day long, I feel that this is right for me. I know that this is wrong. No teacher, preacher, parent, friend, or wise man can decide what's right for you. Just listen to the voice that speaks inside. Have an awesome week, and thank you for being with me.